No one likes a VAT hike, except the market. Johan Els, chief economist, and John Manike, group head of financial education at Old Mutual Group. South Africa's highly anticipated national budget was unexpectedly postponed, causing uncertainty in both political and financial circles. At the center of the delay is a proposal to raise value-added tax, VAT, from 15% to 17%. For context, VAT is a consumption tax levied at each stage of the supply chain on goods and services. Ultimately, it is the end consumer who bears the cost. While a higher VAT rate would generate critical revenue, critics argue it would burden already strained households. The ANC, which lost its parliamentary majority last year for the first time since 1994, was forced to enter a coalition government with several parties, including its main partner, the DA, in what has been dubbed the Government of National Unity. Differences within the coalition and within the ANC itself have become evident, culminating in a last-minute disagreement over the VAT proposal that derailed the entire budget process. At Old Mutual's internal economic briefing, two of its key executives offered perspectives that capture the delicate balancing act facing policymakers. Johan Els, Old Mutual's group chief economist, drew attention to the broader economic picture in explaining the rationale behind raising VAT, whilst John Manike, group head of financial education, raised concerns from a consumer lens. According to Els, tax increases are never ideal, but we must keep an eye on the bigger goal of fiscal consolidation. In a fragile economy, it's crucial to strengthen public finances in a way that appeals to investors and credit ratings agencies. This might not be pleasant in the short term, but may be necessary for South Africa's long-term economic prospects. If the government chooses not to raise VAT, we could see severe spending cuts that jeopardize critical areas like health, education, or social grants. One has to decide which route is ultimately the least damaging. It must be noted that the VAT increase was going to be mitigated by a range of other factors that National Treasury considered, including a higher-than-inflation increase in social grants, no fuel levy, extra zero rating of meats and tinned vegetables, amongst others. Els also noted that the current debt-to-GDP ratio hovers at around 75%, necessitating firm steps to rein in deficits. He emphasized that a higher VAT rate spreads the tax burden more widely, unlike targeted hikes in personal income tax that can drive high-net-worth individuals to seek avoidance strategies or even leave the country. From an investment perspective, demonstrating fiscal discipline could trigger positive reactions in the form of improved credit ratings, enhanced foreign inflows, and eventually greater economic stability. Though he supports the principle of strengthening the fiscal position, Els acknowledged the plan's potential drawbacks. He pointed out that nothing is final until the new budget is tabled, saying, ultimately, Parliament may still opt for a different mix of tax increases and expenditure cuts. The proposed 2% VAT hike is just one potential tool in the box. Either way, the government must present credible policies that reduce the deficit. If it doesn't come from indirect taxes, it has to come from direct taxes or from cutting essential services, both of which could have deep social consequences. On the other side of the coin, Manike focused on the real-world implications for consumers, particularly those already under strain from high unemployment rates and low income levels. He argued that any increase in VAT warrants serious scrutiny regarding its impact on household finances. Millions of South Africans live in poverty or are reliant on social grants as their primary source of income. Even a relatively small adjustment in VAT can shrink disposable income significantly, especially for those who spend the bulk of their money on essential items such as transportation and food. While zero-rated goods do offer some relief, a 2% hike will still filter into everyday costs, putting more pressure on those who are already struggling, he said. Manike also highlighted systemic issues such as wasteful expenditure, poor service delivery at municipal level, and weak accountability measures that undermine public trust in government's fiscal management. He suggested that higher taxes could be seen as a stopgap, unless accompanied by more decisive reforms and prudent expenditure management. According to Manike, increasing VAT may bring short-term relief to the public purse, but it doesn't solve the underlying problems of fruitless expenditure or corruption. We need to see stricter controls, better financial governance at local and national government level, and a concerted effort to ensure taxpayer money is spent responsibly. Without that, consumers can feel like they're being asked to pay more just to finance the same inefficiencies. Despite this year's budget including no additional funds to rescue failing municipalities, Manike highlighted the poor culture of expenditure management at both the local and national level. Manike added, "I'm deeply concerned by the Auditor General's findings that in 2024 we saw R3.4 billion in infrastructure grants go unspent, R7.4 billion lost to fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and R24.1 billion in unauthorized spending." Of the 257 local and district municipalities, only 34 achieved clean audits for 2022-23, down from 38 previously, while 110 had unqualified audits and 90 received qualified opinions because they couldn't accurately account for revenue. Municipalities are also losing critical income through neglected infrastructure, which leads to water and electricity losses. If these systemic issues aren't tackled, simply allocating more funds won't fix the underlying problems. We risk perpetuating poor service delivery and further eroding trust. The political drama behind the budget delay has fueled concerns that the coalition is too fragile to handle major decisions, further complicating South Africa's path to economic recovery. Analysts point to the symbolic nature of a delayed budget, the first since the dawn of democracy, as a sign that deep rifts exist within the coalition. Nevertheless, some argue that the postponement is proof of democracy in action, with partners exercising real negotiation power rather than rubber stamping proposals from the Treasury. In the immediate aftermath of the delay, the rand slipped by around 1% against the dollar, though it later recovered to previous levels. Investor jitters were evident in the bond markets, with government paper losing ground. Observers say that any further instability or last-minute fiscal maneuvering could create longer-term damage to investor confidence, precisely at a time when foreign capital is crucial for financing infrastructure, addressing unemployment, and stimulating growth in Africa's most industrialized economy. One thing is certain: uncertainty is not good for the market and consumers alike. Beyond the immediate fallout, the question is how policymakers can reconcile the urgent need to stabilize public finances with the necessity of preserving social safeguards. South Africa has some of the highest inequality levels in the world, and broad sections of the population are vulnerable to even marginal changes in consumer prices. The Treasury is reportedly exploring offsets such as inflation-beating increases in social grants, additional zero-rated basic food items, and adjustments to the lower tax brackets, all intended to shield the poorest households from a heavier burden. The final outcome, whether a VAT hike, higher personal income taxes, or deeper cuts in public expenditure, remains to be seen. With the new budget date set for the 12th of March, the negotiations in Parliament over the coming weeks will determine just how bold or cautious the eventual fiscal package will be. Until then, businesses, investors, and ordinary citizens alike are left in limbo, bracing for the economic aftershocks of South Africa's most politically fraught budget process in decades. Ends. Author: at Johan Else, Old Mutual Group Plus Posts. Bio: at Johan Else, Old Mutual Group /Malongui-Disabled-Link. SARB poised for 25 basis point rate cut amid low inflation and tariff uncertainty at Johan Else, Old Mutual Group /Malongui-Disabled-Link. Record low inflation, the case for a bold rate cut in South Africa's monetary policy at Johan Else, Old Mutual Group /Malongui-Disabled-Link. Why the Reserve Bank is poised for a rate cut in September at Johan Else, Old Mutual Group /Malongui-Disabled-Link. Economic outlook following South Africa's election results. At John Manike, Old Mutual Plus Posts. Bio: at John Manike, Old Mutual /Malongui-Disabled-Link. Accessing your retirement funding to balance your household budget is a temptation that should be avoided at John Manike, Old Mutual /Malongui-Disabled-Link. Maximize holiday joy by getting the best out of your festive spending at John Manike, Old Mutual hash Malongui dash disabled dash link. South Africans must take action to survive high interest rates at John Manyike. Old Mutual hash Malongui dash disabled dash link. Look out for financial potholes on the route you've taken. Share on your socials.